Dallas is always moving. So is life. That's why Northwest Insurance Agency keeps you covered. From home to auto and more, we make insurance simple and stress-free. Stay protected in the city you love. Get a quote today.
This is the On the Pony Express podcast,
part of the On3 Network.
Check out all the SMU coverage you need at ontheponyexpress.com. Now, here's your host, Billy Embody.
Billy Embody.
One, two, three. Let's go.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the On the Pony Express podcast, live from spring practice. I'm Billy Embody, Hayden Howerton along with us. You got your first look at the Mustangs, the new look Mustangs of spring. Let's just jump right into it. What are your initial takeaways?
Man, it's different now around here. It feels and is a big time football program now. I mean, just from the size of the guys on the field, the speed, you know, the talent, even the recruits that we're bringing around nowadays. I mean, this is a serious big-time football program. But we did get our first look at the actual on-the-field action. And very competitive day. You know, you saw quite a little bit of scuffling after
traditional
the whistle.
Family day massacre.
You know, guys are pushing and shoving, which at this point, this is practice 8.
Yeah, they're in it.
Yeah, they're in the thick of it. You know, that's pretty normal for right about now. And I love it. I mean, guys are still being competitive. There are position battles well underway right now, and you're really kind of just starting to see the best from everybody.
And the podcast, of course, presented by our friends at Northwest Insurance Agency. Email Mark Viasana, info@nwagencies.com, and chat with him about your insurance coverage and what he can bring to you and your entire line of insurance. He can check it out and also talk some SMU football. We got to do margaritas with Mark here soon. Yeah. But for now, we will continue on talking about the SMU Mustangs and obviously being the resident O-line expert. Let's jump into that group. You talk about position battles. You've got Addison Nichols in there at center. You've got Logan Parr, who looked like he had a little Veterans Day today going into the little break. You've got offensive tackle on the right side solidified by PJ Williams, but that rest of that group, a lot of, you know, moving pieces there along the interior. It seems like at right guard, It's the hottest contested battle right now.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you're getting Nate Anderson. I think he started the day over there with the first group, but you're getting a ton of Josh Bates is rotating in, you know,
Alex
he's
Woods.
Looking good. Yeah. Alex Woods, you know, he's starting to get a little more consistent with his play. You know, he's had some really great spring ball days, according to Garen Justice, and he's had some days where it's, hey, Alex, you know what you can do now, so we just need to see that a little more consistently. I'm looking at Addison Nichols, though, as the, you know, resident starting center of of the room. And he's a guy that looks very impressive physically. I mean, it looks like an SEC offensive lineman out there. So Garen has him over on the Crowther sled. You know, he's getting his hip explosion in. I mean, he looks good. I'm excited to watch him. I thought he did really well against our defensive line. I mean, they're going to get their wins. We're going to get ours. But I thought it was a really competitive day from the group. Still watching Savion Byrd. I think he is doing a lot better job of being overly communicative, especially during the individual period. Coach Justice was really harping on that with Savion, and he was making his voice heard, especially here in the indoor with all the families around and things like that. So it's exciting watching the group. I spent a majority of the practice down there kind of inspecting the current status of them. But, no, I'm excited to watch this group come opening day.
Savion Byrd is somebody that obviously the last game against Penn State gets that draw against Abdul Carter, which, you know, really truthfully isn't fair to anybody across the country. And, you know, we're seeing Savion, you know, continue to build, you know, his repertoire, I think, against some serious speed when it comes to the edge rushers SMU has. DJ Warner is a guy that he went up against. A lot of speed coming from him. I came away impressed with what I see from him. Again, it's kind of a consistency thing, you know, just continuously trying to perfect that craft, kind of like PJ Williams is a little bit more farther along with.
Yeah, PJ's a little more vested. You know, he has a few more feathers in his cap. He's able to understand what Coach Justice is looking for in terms of consistency. But you can't underestimate Savion's athleticism and his drive. And, I mean, he is a freak athlete out here.
He really
Connor
is.
Galvin, good friend of the show, played with the Lions the last couple of years. He was out here, and he's like, who's that 54 cat wearing the back plate? I mean, Savion just has that presence of a very talented guy who I think is putting in the work mentally and technically to be able to perform at a high level. But we'll continue to monitor that as spring ball goes on.
You know, probably one of the most fun battles from an offense versus defense perspective for me being out here has been PJ Williams versus Turbo. And yeah. everybody knows we're fans of Turbo, of course, and PJ on the show as well. But that is a battle that they go against each other in one-on-ones every single day, and it gets chippy yeah. every single day. And that's, I think, the respect of both of those guys that they've got for each other. And they're just iron sharpen iron yeah. right there. You know, that's what I see.
It yeah. was really similar. I mean, Elijah Chapman and I mean, yeah. it was one-on-ones. We'd both give the little point, and yeah. we'd line up across from each other. You want your best to go against your best, because iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. They are really improving each other on a daily basis. So I like Turbo. I think he has a lot of moves in his bag. He's adding some more, especially when you bring in defensive linemen from other colleges. We're bringing in some Purdue, Baylor, Texas State guys who have more rush moves in their bag and are able to teach each other, because these guys are all wanting to get stats. They're all wanting to get TFL sacks, and they sit in there the same way O-line does, and, you know, they scheme. You know, yeah. they talk about what works, and, hey, here's what I did against X, and, you know, ways that you can expose certain things.
Let's talk about the defensive line. We got to talk with Jeffrey Emba.
Mm-hmm.
He's from France. He's well-traveled. He's been to Independence, Kansas. He's been to Auburn. He's been to Purdue. And he is so excited to be here. And, boy, I mean, does he not look like $1 million too?
Yeah. He might be my new favorite SMU Mustang, just from a conversation standpoint.
That was one of the more entertaining interviews.
Yeah, you guys should check that out 100% if you haven't already. But, yeah, just talking to him and hearing about his experience and kind of why he chose Dallas, Texas and SMU and, you know, the opportunity that he has in front of him. I mean, he is a very mature yeah. college football player. I mean, he's going to be 26 by this time. I think next year is what he said, where yeah. I'm 26 now and I've been out of college for 3 years.
Young bucks.
Yeah. But he brings a lot of experience from other places and has played in the Big Ten and, you know, and has charted his way across the U.S. and finally has found a final chapter in his college career here at SMU. So I'm excited watching him. I mean, he looks like a video game character out there. Yeah. You know, him and Addison is like, wow, we got some serious yeah. SEC Big Ten talent out here now. But watching him work with Coach Tibbs, you know, he gave a lot of credit to Coach Thibodeau and his development already, just even being here just a few months. And, you know, I'm excited to watch how he progresses from here.
You know, the biggest thing with Jeffrey Emba, I think, is the change in scheme that he spoke about. And yeah. and Kevin Kane, former SMU defensive coordinator, was at Purdue. You know, Ryan Walters ran the defense over there, but it was a lot more kind of sitting back
yeah.
and not playing that kind of aggressive style that we see here. You know, all the guys have always talked about how they ask the defensive lineman to be aggressive.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got to, you know, play your gaps and you got to play responsibly, but you know, that is one of the biggest difference. When you get a guy that looks like that, instead of having them go, like, sit back and read, man, he has the talent to go, and he's really shown that in practice.
Yeah, he was playing 4-eye at Purdue, and he talked about how, you know, you extend your arms, you read, you really just hold that B gap. I mean, here, he's coming off the ball, and he's getting, you know, the double team, the chip block, and things. And he's having to play off of it. I mean, just you're allowing him to pin his ears back and do what he does best.
We are presented by our friends at Thomas Auto Group as well. Head up 75 McKinney. Check out their Ford, Subaru, Volkswagen dealership. Check out the Thomas Promise, of course. And take a look at a new or pre-owned vehicle from the Thomas Auto Group and get employee pricing with On the Pony Express. And, you know, SMU, they paid up on – they did not get employee pricing on the defensive line that they put together. And a lot of retaining and a lot of all of that with the NIL situation that everybody's in right now. But – one guy who they also beat out some high-level competition for was Terry Webb. And I think Terry, his quickness, I think he and Jeffrey right now with Jonathan Jefferson sounded like shell for the spring from Tibbs, but Terry Webb has a unique, I think he's got the opposite of what Jeffrey has, which mm-hmm. is he's a little squattier in a sense. You know, he's probably still 6'2", 6'3", but he's got quickness. I saw him dish out a nasty swim move yep. in team early on. Seems like between those guys and Jonathan Jefferson when he's healthy, you've got a healthy, you know, starting three there.
It's a good-looking core on the inside. I mean, I think we're still going to have depth with the transfer portal, things like that. Maybe we go out and get one more, maybe not. But I think the core of who we're going to roll out there for the first series is there. I think we're going to be highly successful against East Texas A&M. I mean, I would hope so. But the real challenge is going to come week two against sure. against the Baylor Bears. And I think we'll have enough time to really develop, start gelling. You know, we talk about it with the offensive line, but the defensive line in this game needs to understand when you get live bullets from these offensive linemen, what those blocks are going to feel like. You know, it's going to be a little different than here in the indoor where you're taking care of your teammates. And that was a big emphasis from Coach Lashley, is learning how to practice. You know, this is a little bit of a younger team. We had a lot of turnover last year with those seniors, so guys are really having to understand the go hard up until you get within arm's length, yeah, and then wrap up, keep your teammates healthy, all that good stuff. So we're seeing just a little bit of a learning curve happening in the how to practice, and it happens at every level, high school, college, pros. You know, you get rookies who come in and they've been banging heads all 4 or 5 years of college, and you get to the NFL, it's like, hey, that's not how we do things
here.
Yeah,
that'll be nipped in the butt real quick. when you look at SMU's skill positions, you know, they've got some talent, they've got some competition. You know, we saw Ty Hawkins have a really nice day. Kev made some good throws as usual. Keldrick made some good throws. But I think let's start with the running backs, C.J. Johnson Jr. or Chris Johnson Jr. and then Derek McFaul. Derek McFaul had an unbelievable wheel route catch just past Alex Kilgore. Chris Johnson Jr. had some really nice runs. That running back room, I mean, between the two, I would say there's more speed than what, you know, Burchard brought to the table. It's an exciting influx of explosiveness coming into that room.
Yeah, we love Alex Kilgore on this show, but I mean, Derek McFaul on a wheel route, you know, out in space, it's pretty unfair.
It would be a good matchup with Ahmad Moses or Isaiah Wacoby or even a corner
100%
with Derek.
And then you look at Chris Johnson, you know, he had some really nice runs. He makes one cut, you know, guys fall on their face and he's gone, you know, so we're hoping to see a lot of that come the fall. It's just going to be who is going to replace the production that Burchard had. Is it going to be running back by committee? And I'm okay if it is, or are one of those two guys really going to take the reins and go, this is my job now?
You know, the wide receiver position is one that we talk a lot about with the young pups coming up with Daylon Singleton and Jalen Cooper, but Romello Brinson really had a nice day. Jordan Hudson's been having a good spring. Kevin and Romello, I think, have a really good bit of chemistry between the two of them, you know, and Kevin didn't really get to build that last year because Romello was, you know, hurt and redshirted and all that. I like where Romello's game is heading from what I've seen. He made a big play down the sideline and then had a really nice catch on a curl route and turned it into a couple more yards. I think despite a overall kind of sloppy practice, a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks, I think there were some highlights for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching Romello and Kevin. Kevin gets into scramble drill, and instead of having to sit here in direct traffic while he's running with the ball, he rolls out and Romello follows him. He's able to, you know, throw a little sidearm action in there where they're really just understanding what each other can do and are going to do in certain situations. I mean, it's going to take reps. It's going to take all the way until August for them to probably really feel good about it. Just with Kevin not getting these reps this time, you know, in previous years. I know Preston was hurt where it really was the Kevin show in spring ball. But like we talk about, those live bullets, you know, these scrimmage periods that we get, that's where, you know, the value is built between those two and all of the receiving core.
Make sure you guys head over to the Rusty Taco location on Greenville Avenue. Use code PONYEXPRESS for free corn fritters with any purchase. Check out their new menu. And, of course, the margaritas hit different as well.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, indeed. when you look at what is understood on this team, you mentioned that word a couple seconds ago. Let's understand that Kevin Jennings is a starting quarterback. We are not here to start any of that difference in the quarterback situation. But Ty Hawkins has come on in the spring, looked really comfortable. He's made good decisions, and he can throw the piss out of the ball.
Looks very mature for a true freshman quarterback. I mean, maybe IMG does that a little bit to you. You know, you're playing at essentially a college program in high school, but watching him, there were multiple today that he's dropping it in the bucket or he's making really tight window red zone throws where it's SMU's going to be in good hands at the quarterback spot over the next few years. I mean, this is the Kevin Jennings run SMU football program. It's going to be for Kevin's time here. But you're just looking at the depth of that room. And you know, Keldrick Luster is another guy who goes out and has good practices where you're like, even if we had to roll the ball out and give it to Keldrick, I think we'd be in good shape. But you're looking at Kevin and just the poise that he's bringing to the program nowadays after coming off of his first year as the full-time starter, just the respect he has around the program. He was already a team captain this past year, and he's just building on kind of that level of maturity, respect. I'm seeing him having conversations with Coach Lashley where he's really turning into a coach on the field, and you bring in Tyler Van Dyke to help him do the same thing.
Yeah, and the thing with Kevin, too, is, you know, last year – he's kind of not necessarily he's learning all of these things on the fly from those game bullets like you talk about, but he's also, you know, now able to take time in the offseason and, hey, if we had a miscommunication on a route, or hey, I didn't the receiver didn't sit down right where he maybe wanted him mm-hmm. to. He can have those conversations, and it just keeps building yep. that chemistry, which is so important, as Kev does love to get out of the pocket a little yep. bit and move around. But you have those conversations, it just continues to build. I think that's really important. One thing I like from Ty Hawkins, saw a play where pressure kind of came, you know, collapsing the pocket a little bit. He climbed up into yes. it, and he made a great throw. It picked up a first down, kept the chains moving. You know, those are the type of things that I think, you know, Kev can obviously continue to work on. Yep. But I thought it was a nice flash from Ty. And there were times where, you know, he also scrambled mm-hmm. out and got out of there. But I think there's just been a lot of encouraging play from the quarterbacks this spring.
Yeah, that was a big-time veteran play to be able to step up like that. I mean, the key in pass protection is your middle three are really controlling the depth of the pocket, and then the tackles control the width. I mean, if that width collapses, you need your front three, and we bring in guys who have played big-time football program really strong yep. to hold that depth so he can step up and deliver the ball yep. in situations like that. I was really impressed by Ty today, but, you know, I think there was a lot of room for growth in all the positions. Saw a couple of interceptions, you know, a couple maybe badly timed balls that might have not gotten thrown in a game.
Yeah.
But just, it's family day, it's practice, you know, you're trying to sneak one in there for the gram,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
whoever else is going to put it on social. But overall, I was pleased with today.
Yeah, the team now gets a few days off. I don't think they practice again until next weekend, you know, late
next
in the
Friday.
Week, next Friday. So a little mid-spring break. For SMU, and it's kind of that last little bit before they hit it hard again with, you know, probably eight practices or so until, you know, that spring, whatever we're calling it, private event that you'll be in attendance yep. for. And what is that like today? You know, you got family day, you've got that break on the horizon, mm-hmm. Final four games tonight, so, like, guys are probably amped. You just get through it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's where the culture is really taking
for
hold.
Sure.
I thought there was a lot of competitiveness, even if maybe there was a little bit of slop out there.
Yeah, there was a little bit. I mean, it's natural. I was sitting back there with Cam Irvin, and we were like, man, how dare they not take this practice seriously? But the practice before COVID, Sonny Dykes comes in and is like, hey, guys, we're going to have 2 weeks off. And everybody's like, yep. Like, but no, I think this team did have the maturity to go out and still improve and get better. You saw the chippiness. It would have been really easy for them to just roll over and just slop through the entire thing, but they still were competitive. I do think the culture, because of where they've been before, now it's believable, where
yeah.
you talk about, guys, if you do this, we'll achieve X result. Now you have the formula, and it's been proven.
Yeah.
So now guys are more willing to follow. Before, it was just a dream of, hey, guys, trust me, believe me, if we do this, then this will happen. It's, no, this is what we did last year, and it did happen.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Embaugh, to bring it full circle, brought that up. He said, you know, the standard is a standard because it's been set and it's been mm-hmm. proven, and that's something he's come in and just tried to be a part of
yep.
and not try to bring as much from his other experiences as much as this is proven. And he goes, Jared Harrison, look what he did. He
yeah.
goes, all ACC, you know, that's what I want to do. If I follow the process, if I sit in there with the standard, I can achieve some of those goals too.
Yep.
So that goes for pretty much all the positions.
For sure. Man, it's fun to watch the maturity of the guys that we have that have grown. You know, your Alex Kilgores, your guys you get out of high school, have really bought into the culture, understand what it takes. But we're also bringing in guys who are beneficial to the culture, like Jeffrey Embaugh. One of the things when the transfer portal opened up that I was worried about was the culture. Is the culture going to get diluted? You're bringing guys from programs who won one or two games
yeah.
you know, the previous year. How are they going to gel with everything? And instead of them inflicting, you know, their bad culture on everybody else, you know, instead of being a bad coffee bean, they're being affected by everybody who's already been here. And the culture is really just permeating within them, and they get in line really quick.
Yeah. Well, with the break coming up for the guys, maybe they, with some of their NIL dollars, can pitch together a status jet trip and use code PonyUpACC for a discount on a round trip flight with Status Jet. Go to statusjet.com, reach out to them and plan your trip today. Summer's coming up, great time to use that, or just, of course, use it for work too and write it off.
Yeah.
So, like we would love to do. So, Hayden, any final closing thoughts here on practice and just kind of what you picked up today?
It's just special. You know, you look around, you look at how many people are in attendance, how many people want to be a part of SMU football program. Talked to a recruit. He's like, man, this is my fourth time being here. I wouldn't come here four times without an offer if I didn't know this place was special. And as guys who came in, set the foundation, you know, really bought into this belief that SMU could be this one day, to see it all come to fruition and understand of we're a big time college football program now. You know, it's unreal. It's awesome to watch.
Really good stuff from Hayden Howerton. He's earned a well-deserved Rusty Taco Margarita. So, Hayden, great time, great catching up on the pod, and we hope you guys enjoy our coverage from practice today. A lot of recruiting news as well, a lot of big-time prospects, like you said, on campus, and we'll talk about all that and more at ontheponyexpress.com. Subscribe for just $1 for a week. So that'll do it for this edition of the podcast. For Hayden Howerton, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to the On the Pony Express podcast with Billy Embody.
Follow us on your socials on X at SMU on 3 and on Instagram at On3SMU.
And keep it locked to ontheponyexpress.com for more coverage.
At Thomas Auto Group, we created the Thomas Promise exclusively for our customers.
Because we believe our customers are the best.
And the best customers deserve the best from us too.
That's right. The Thomas Promise includes the low price promise.
Next is the pre-owned promise.
And the 72-hour exchange promise.
And finally, the 100% customer satisfaction promise. So shop Thomas Auto Group today, right here in McKinney, home of the Thomas Promise.